Father, we open this precious book again. We approach it with great reverence, Lord. Thank you so much for inspiring through the Holy Spirit to give it to us in our day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit moved in us and took abide in our hearts, that we in turn, when we open this book, we know where reality absolutely is the Word of God, bearing witness with our heart, that we even cry, Abba, Father, to the one who loved us so much. Thank thee that Jesus himself, not ashamed to call us a brethren, Lord, because he sees more than what we see. He sees the blood of Christ. He sees what it did for us in our heart. He knows where we're fooling or playing. And Father, we who really have trusted you as Savior, thank you, God. Thank God you came in. You didn't leave us by ourselves out there to wander around, bumping in every doctrine and every foolish ideology of man and religious thoughts of man. You gave us the Holy Spirit of God, and you preserved the Word of God in our day. And I pray tonight you'd give us that wisdom to apply knowledge correctly as we try to understand the different things in your Word that makes it more real to us of who you are, who Jesus is, and what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we go back and look in verse 13 again. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah. And he said, And one, or maybe one of the prophets, he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we've been looking at the conditions to ask different ones who the Son of God is. Now, the Word of God tells us, but he gives a record of things. And I believe that when you have a commentary that talks about its own method and word, and you can compare things in it, and the Bible is his best commentary, that you can also find elements that proves that who the Bible says Jesus is gives us assurance that he's that. I don't need that because the Holy Spirit gives me assurance. But sometimes intelligent men and women get the idea that I have to have the information in front of my mind, and I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit of God right now, but I just want to know if there's enough evidence of it. Then I can believe what you're asking to say. Well, we've been looking at that. We looked at the past. First of all, we asked humanity in the past. In the past, the only one they knew about when he asked here at this, but though they were at Caesarea, was a Gentile place. The only thing that they knew and heard in their circle where they had been was what had been mentioned referring to the Old Testament prophecy. So they geared into that as what in the past, this is what's been said. And then he talked again about the present. And we said the present started all in Christ's day, but to our day, where we're at, and we talked about different ones. We talked about Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Muslims, the Hindu, the Jews. We even talked about the Scriptures themselves, and we'll do a little bit more of that in just a few minutes. But since humanity cannot help us determine the identity of Jesus, then we ask the question, is anyone else can help us? We know that the apostles said it right, but they said what they heard. We know that Peter said it right. He believed it, but amazes me. 3.5 years later, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And it helps me understand and study and like this to know this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever be ashamed if you're in a circumstance that sometimes Satan may flash doubt in your mind. Just realize if that flash of doubt comes, this book is more powerful. And I guarantee you have the Word of God in your heart. It will keep you from sin. It will keep you from a lot of things. In fact, it'll make you see yourself before you look at others. This is a mirror for us to see ourselves. It'll make you evaluate yourself before you evaluate someone else. Because this book is powerful on us. And it's understanding that we have to be changed before we can ever see anybody else change. Or God can use us for the foundation to get anyone else changed in their life. So we go into the Scriptures, or went into heaven, we talked about to start with, which we learned from the Scriptures, that God himself, what he said to start with. And we looked at, he said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or in Matthew 3, 17, he said, I am well pleased. And then again, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, in Matthew 17, verse 5. Then we talked about, other than God, the spirits that were in heaven. And how, what happened? Those that didn't fall, those who did fall. We looked at those who didn't fall to start with, what they had to say. We picked Gabriel and looked at what he said when he went to Mary and when he went to Joseph, that this seed that would be in Mary's womb would be that of God. Now, it's interesting because you're going to see some other things in a few minutes that Jesus said to help me understand that when God talked about that the Holy Ghost is going to shatter her and the seed would be of God so that God could become a man. Then we'll understand why Jesus said about himself when we look at some things in a few minutes in the Gospel of John. After we looked at those angels, then we looked at the fallen angels. And we saw fallen angels when Christ would come in their presence, run to him sometimes and fall down and ask him, have you come to destroy us for your time? They knew who he was. In fact, the scripture says they knew who he was. And even the devils believe there's God and they tremble. It doesn't change them though, because when they fail, they fail. They have no second chance. Thank God you and I had a chance and God gives us second chances. We had the first time to be saved, and he gives us many times to serve him, chance after chance. And growth determines where that service will be. And I'm working on a message on that. It's going to be, I believe, a good series of things that shows me exactly how I've grown, why I should grow, and how I've grown in my life, and how we all can grow in our life where God can use us better as time goes on. Maybe not in the early days when you first, as a newborn child of God, you know, we have more zeal than we have knowledge. And the problem is, when we get knowledge, we don't have no zeal. God wants us to have both. I wish that, when I saved, you know, first things like a baby leaving the crib and learning to walk, and junior age, level, they have a lot of zeal, a lot of energy. And then, when a child of God gets born in the family of God, they have a lot of energy. They're so happy. They want everybody saved. In fact, if you be honest with you, you thought you'd get everybody saved. Because if you got saved, you thought everybody would be saved. At least everybody would listen. I found out nobody would listen. But I found out some would. And so, by the way, in Jesus' day, everybody would listen either. You know what they did? They'd go because they could get fed. He said in John one time, you didn't come because you what I've said. You come because your stomach's full. But at the same time, there were the many who did trust him and many followed him who didn't trust him. Because when he talked about eating his body as bread, then they began to say, we can't stand this, man. This is beyond our thinking. And many left him, showing that they had not had the new birth in their heart and life in the sense, at least up to that time, until Jesus could die on Calvary, which would bring about the new birth. They had faith in him and followed him because they saw him to be who he was. As Peter said, thou art the Son of God. And two, he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we looked at that, and then we looked at the scriptures, and we gave a number of scriptures that the Bible itself is filled with information about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is crystal clear of who Jesus Christ is. It amazes me that going in the Old Testament, no one could see him, the prophecy of him coming. And it amazes me, seemed like, that when God came to the point before Jesus came in Malachi, there were 400 years he didn't even contact the earth at all that we have any record of. And so what he was doing is allowing it to go as long as 400 years. Can you imagine 400 years? That's almost twice the time of our age of our country. And we think ours are old, don't we? We lived 100 and we look old. Can you imagine living like Adam did, 900-something years old? Well, I bet he's glad he was made by the hand of God, because you and I live 900 years old, they'd be pushing us around in a coffin already if we're alive. I don't know. But here I'm saying that this time, though, we're looking at some realization of where we get our information from. The understanding. The information gives us understanding. And then the understanding, God gives us wisdom applied together in our hearts and mind. And so now let's go a little further. And we talk about the angels, we talk about God, we talk about the scriptures that gives us information. But what about the saints of God, those who've gone on to heaven now? Many of the great figures of the New Testament offer their testimony to the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ before they died. And by the way, we right here tonight, if you're born again, offer the testimony that Jesus Christ is who he said he was 2,000 years later. We're still going on. At least trying to tell people that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And so as we see that, as Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:17, Whom do ye say that I am? So let's look at a couple anyhow, and then we'll move on into what Christ himself said. I mean, Jesus told Peter that this didn't come from flesh and blood that he saw. He came from his heavenly Father. So the message comes from heaven, who Jesus is. And it goes through the child of God in the age of grace, who's part of the church, to tell the world who Jesus is. And God says this, the combination is, if you let me, in my Holy Spirit, use you to use your voice, use your words, backed up by the Word of God, to tell the world who Jesus Christ really is, then your responsibility is done. Because from there, God says, my Holy Spirit must do the rest. He'll use what you say, if it's biblical, if it's from God, and the Holy Spirit would do what you can't do. And that save them. Holy Spirit can save them. But the Holy Spirit won't work lives or will. So I'm glad to know. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If God put a quota on how many we can leave the Lord, probably, and that's the only way to get to heaven, not many of us get there. Now, I guess I'd live about as many as anybody here has to the Lord down through the years. But I'm telling you that I'm glad that God doesn't put responsibility on us to see them saved. I try to see some of them saved real quick, like, and finally it don't work. Because those who I thought was saved now, not even serving God, not even in church. The many I have that I've seen are in church. Many have died serving God, gone on to be with the Lord. We have some 17, 18, some 15, 15, around 15, about 15, that surrendered to preach in some form or fashion in the last number of years. So, there's some that are not at this time still serving God, maybe like that they were at one time. What I'm saying to you, though, God has said, if we'll get the message out biblically, the Holy Spirit will use that to bring people and draw people to the Lamb of God. So here we talk about, let's ask two great men in the New Testament, for instance. If we go to John chapter 1 and verse 34, we see John the Baptist on the scene. And John, when he was here, he said this. He said, I saw, in John 1:34, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. When John saw Jesus coming and recognized him by the dove coming upon his head and realizing that he was the one that God said, look for, this will be the one that is the Son of God. And he said, I bear record. It's absolute truth that I saw him, and everything God said, the dove came down, the voice from heaven, everything God said proved to me, and I bear record that he was the absolute Son of God. Then look at the Apostle Paul when he came along in Acts chapter 9. He was headed towards Damascus, going to kill Christians. He certainly wasn't a child of God either. And on the road to Damascus, God knocked him off the horse, blinded him, and you know the story, and saved his soul, even to the place that he walked around blind until he went over to the city to talk to a certain person, and God, he was scared of him to start with, but God told him he was going to be using him for the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, straightway, immediately, here he is going towards Damascus, letters to kill every Christian, and had a right to do so, and would probably, every time he did that, they promoted him some kind. On the road to Damascus, turning around, went back the other way, started preaching Jesus Christ, and God bringing people to him by being saved. And he said immediately, straightway, what it means. Here's what Paul said. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, and verse 20. Immediately is what it says. He said he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. What am I saying to you, folks? The record bears to us that what this book says is true, and it's been preached down through the years. And so when we look at all of these things, this ought to give us assurance. You know, the more evidence you have, the more assurance you should have. But it's something about Christianity. Most people, I don't know how they're measuring it by, because it's not biblical. The child of God should be able to measure it biblical. The world can't measure it biblical. It amazes me. I heard a newsman say the other day, on the news broadcast, that sinners are more believing than Christians are. Can you imagine that? In other words, you could trust sinners better than you could Christians, folks. But wait a minute. Everybody who says they're a Christian is not a Christian. But the world clips us all together in that. And if we truly become what God wants us to be as a Christian, they think we've gone too far. They'd rather you straddle a line and be close to the world than to be out so there'd be an example to set for people as far as what a Christian should be. So now I've gone the past history, I've gone to the present history, I've gone to the angels in heaven, those didn't fall, those that did fall. I listened to what God had to say, I listened to what the Holy Spirit had to say through the scriptures. I see what John the Baptist said, I see what Paul says. All of this is evidence. Then I want to see what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And when I look at this, I see the Savior. And by the way, what a person says about himself is also important in discussion, his identity. And here's some things that Jesus said about himself. And by the way, he's the authority. I don't care what the world said, he's God in the flesh, folks. And here's what he said in John chapter 14, verse 9. He said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, let's think about that just a minute. Someone said, well, I sure love to see God the Father. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, when you looked at Christ in the flesh, in the miraculous way that he was born in Mary's womb, as God the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, the seed of God was planted, and as far as God's seed planted in Mary, the seed flesh, Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen exactly who the Father looks like. By the way, I believe that. Now, it meant the fact is that though he was in a fleshly body, most people looked at him as just ordinary man. But his actions, his life, his ways were different. Now, society then is like society now. When Jesus would go and feed a few thousand, people came, loved it. But when he speak, they'd leave. Because he spoke direct to the heart. He didn't just scatter the seed like we do and let the Holy Spirit do it. When he spoke, listen folks, he could speak in 5,000 people and touch every last one of them's heart. And what happens, those who were the most elite religious one got upset. And they said, we can have this. They wouldn't listen because what he said destroyed their territory, destroyed their religion. Even though God had given it down through the years, it was not like God started out with Moses. But they didn't see that. And so what happened now, he's got enemies in the camp. And in the camp, they can't wait to get rid of him. And 3.5, amazing to me, he went 3.5 years. But enough time to give him a chance to see who he was. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. Now, that's what Jesus said. So first of all, he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And I want you to know, I and my Father are one. Now, I know it's hard to understand that because we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as one. But we also look at them as in position, has been separated. Why? Because nobody can understand why when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed to God the Father, let this cup pass from me, if he's one with God, he already knows that. In position-wise, as a man, I'm so glad Jesus did that because as a man, he shows us how much we need to talk to God the Father by the Spirit that lives in us and have the Spirit help us pray. Because a lot of things about God, folks, listen, he made man, and man is a created intellectual being over all the other things he made. But let me tell you something, God is way above us. And when it comes to what he's telling us, he has to really break it down. I can just in my mind sometimes think, Lord, it's not to give God a heart, say they have a hard time, but it must be very frustrating for a man like God to try to come through the veil from the spiritual world into the physical world and then come to our hearts and come through our mind and our thinking to bring down what he wants to say when already there's a lot of doubt there. This world has doubt. And God's got to break down the wall of doubt. God's got to break down the wall of resistance. All those things, and then we don't realize that, by the way, he could have zapped that one of us to hell, or he could have declared all of us been saved. But then he wouldn't have what he wanted. See, there's a battle going on between he and Satan that you and I don't know one thing about. We know a little hearsay there. But God is showing Satan that he can do something in his midst with all that he's doing, and there'll be some people that he created as a man in his image that will believe God in the end results and not believe Satan. And that gives God glory. You know why? Because his son came and did it. Go look when Jesus went into the wilderness. His son faced Satan directly and used the scriptures to show us we have the scriptures. By the way, folks, we're blessed to have this book. There's a lot of places in the world that they'd love to have a scripture in their own language. And a lot of places they're trying to do that. The only problem is if you're not careful, and I'm going to be very cautious here, but if you're not careful, you can get want something so bad that you change the Word of God to try to get in somebody's language. And we've got to hear, we're blessed to have a book that had not been changed, but is been changed, but we still have a copy of one that's not been changed. And I thank God for that. And I know we can read this and know that it's going to do for us what God said it would do. So he said, I and my Father are one. I believe that. Separated, preach, how do you do that? Don't you think I can tell you, in deity, and I've said it before, they're one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Get the book of Rise and Fall of Satan, and you'll see that I wrote. They are equal. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father is. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father and God the Son is. And God is as much God as the Holy Spirit and God the Son. They're equal in deity. But in position, they're not. Jesus Christ in the garden didn't pray to himself as the Father. He prayed to the Father. And you find, when he talked about the Father, he wasn't talking about himself going back to heaven to be the Father. He was telling those who listened that God the Father in heaven had sent him in his position. And therefore, he would do everything that God the Father said do. And then I see also, in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what's this? I am. Every word explodes in my heart when I see. He said, I am. And I'm saying enough about that passage. You know what I'm talking about. I am. He's always in the present tense. Folks, the thought in my mind in studying this about who God is amazes me that did you know before God ever created anything, he's already at where we were at? Did you know? Though I don't know what my life has before me, but I'm going to have some bad, hard days. I know. I'm going to have victory, though, but I'm going to have some hard days. I've decided you're not going to get out of this world without some hard days. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to worry about God's power being frustrated that he can't help me or his provision is going to be completely used so he can't help me. Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else, if I live to be 100 years old, God is already there and he has every provision I need. He's never going to run out. He's never going to come short. Now, that gives me hope. That gives me assurance that I'm not just tagging along some false God. I'm talking about somebody who's real, and he's going to promise me now since he's in the now. We get out of time. We understand. When we get a glorified body, get to heaven, we will understand what it is not to be in time, but be in eternity. To live forever? But why I'm in time? And I want to say to you, I don't care where you get in your life. God is already there now, and he's always got provision for us. And when we get there, the foundation is who we got to stand on. And when we stand on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, then you're going to find what happens there will be more for God's glory than for our good. Though it will be for our good. But we think different. Now we think, boy, that'd be my good. I'll give you glory. No. He said, for my glory be for your good. And the reason for that is we're here for his glory anyhow. We're here for his glory. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask something. Do this in your mind. I've had enough problems, sickness, and situation in time to know how we get. And I pray God to help me more as I get knowledge and understand that knowledge and have the wisdom to apply it. Help me understand whatever happens to me physically can't happen unless it filter to God's hand. Because I'm his child. And whatever happens to you, just be sure you're on the foundation. Be sure that you're walking by faith. And God is saying, when you come to that place and you get through that, you'll see that I use you in a way you didn't know you could be used. And son, if you'll let me use you when you get to heaven and get the glorified body, you'll see everything as they are, and you'll be wishing you had done many other things rather than complain because of a few things. That's our God, folks. I'm telling you, that's our God. He's not like the world talks about it. Yeah, the world thinks like, you hear somebody say get sick, and you pray for them, you didn't pray for them, they didn't believe. Don't hand me that. If a child of God is saved and standing on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, they got enough to faith to know that God can heal anything. And if I look in the mirror of God's Word and need something, He shows me, help me see myself before I see anybody else. Because if I see myself before I see anybody else, then I'll see better when I look at someone else. It's hard to do that in the flesh, but I'll tell you, it works for us. And then I also see in John, we'll come back to that. John 6, verse 35, He says, I am the bread of life. I am. What's this now? He says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He says in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. He says in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. He said in 10, 36, I am the Son of God. In John 11, 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15, 1, He says, I am the true vine. I am, in present tense. The fact He can say that in time gives me assurance when I get in eternity, there's no such a thing as ceasing to exist. We will become like the I am to live forever. But it's an amazing thing. The only one that came through time like you and I did was Jesus Christ. You know, God the Son understands us. Don't misunderstand this because God knows everything. But God the Son knows the hurt of us better than God the Father. Because He suffered it. He suffered it. God is love, but I'm telling you, God, none of us will ever stand in the presence of God and see the reality of things and wonder why something happened before. Because God the Father just say this, son, you have never received anything like my Son has. He received more than Satan could throw, more than sin could punish. He's received everything that you should have received, but He received it all, and that's the reason you can be here rather than where the others are at who trusted not Jesus Christ. Now, I see, and I got to quit, but I want you to go with me to John chapter 17 because I'm showing you scripture that Jesus talks about Himself. Well, so He's kind of hung up on Himself. He has a right to be. I mean, He has a right to be. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Boy, I'm glad He is hung up on Himself. So He's saying, it's not pride. He's not talking about pride here. He's talking about He wants us to know who He is so we can know He did for us what He said He'd do. And I get John 17, and I'll just go, I'm going to read this whole chapter. I can't do it tonight. I'll be here until 1 o'clock in the morning because you can't read the whole thing. I can't without looking at some things that have been said. But I'm showing you a man who was merely a man and said the things that Jesus Christ said. Listen, he's more than a moral teacher. I mean, you have to take your choice when you hear this. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman of something worse. And maybe his family thought this, they don't now, but I'm sure then thought that something is wrong. He's lost his mind, claiming to be the Savior. In fact, it amazes me. Even his hometown, Nazareth, didn't believe that he was the one that was sent. They found out later, I'm sure, that they did. But you can't shut him up. I mean, you can shut him up for you can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher only. He has not left that open to us. He has proven to us that He is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. And God said, hear Him. Hear Him. Now Christ has come down here in chapter 17. And I love this. And then we call this a prayer of intercession. And now He's fixing to go back with the Father. Now watch what Jesus said. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if He's not the Son of God, He's the biggest fool I've ever heard. Because if I was going to write a biography of anything, I wouldn't even come close to this. I've got news for you. You say, that's sacrilegious. No, I'm trying to lay a point. He's not a fool. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. Peter was right. He's the one that God sent. He's the one the prophets told about. He's the one that changed even the time of man, B.C. and A.D. And in the age of grace, is performing one of the greatest things through the church now. In the Old Testament, he used the nation of Israel. But now he's using the church. And I know I've got 2 minutes. Watch this. Now, let's just look through it, and I'll show you what we're going to do. I love this because you can't do it justice. I can't. But at least God can help us. Watch what Jesus said, or what he said here. This prime minister said, these words spake Jesus. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, he's fixing to go to Calvary, folks. How in the world can God be glorified by his Son being handled like he was with the demons of man? I mean, hate him so bad, they gnashed their teeth upon him. Mocked him, come down, if you be the Christ, we'll believe. No, they wouldn't. Now, he said, Father, he's praying. He's already prayed before in sweat drops of blood. In agony, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, always at position, showing he was surrendered to God. Nevertheless, thy will be done. He's praying now. Again, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Now, he's going to give some petitions here, and watch what he says. Glorify thy Son. In other words, what Jesus is going to go, as far depth he could go to pay the sin debt, be raised from the dead in resurrection form, go back to the Father, apply the blood, and God will be satisfied, and he'll be glorified. And God will have glorified his Son, proven that he's who God said he was, who Jesus said he was, who the disciples said he was, who John said he was, who Paul said he was, who those prophets of the old spoke coming, and we saw who he is. God will glorify. Jesus set aside, you can't imagine what it was to set aside what he set aside to come be this earth to die for you and I, folks. Can you imagine, folks? Revelation says at the throne of God, angels are signed. It's their destiny. They're signed as a permanent signing to do nothing but give God praise in our form day and night, 24 hours a day, like we understand it. There's no such thing as time there. Jesus Christ also deserves that type of glory. You and I can't even get to church hardly to pray with him. But can you imagine? You think, looks like it'd get boring. There's something about heaven's different here. I guarantee you, if you stood here and praise God, you know, just continue to praise God 24 hours a day for a few weeks, after a while, it'd get boring. Why? This flesh is dead, folks. This flesh is not been redeemed. So in the flesh, it didn't seem reality. Oh, I love to praise him and do that, but at the same time said, do it over and over and over, and that's your destiny, that's your job. And you find in Revelation, they do it and they never get tired. They never get tired. There's a difference in the reality when you see it like it is than when you are going through emotions because you have a little bit of information. And we just have a little bit. Once then he said, as thou had given him power over all flesh. Now who? God has given his Son power over all flesh. Watch what he says. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now I've got to understand that. God has given eternal life to as many as God has given him. Now the question is, how that happened? You have to understand the system. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. The Word of God is here to tell us what that life is, to present the Lamb of God. And the Holy Spirit draws, not you and I. You and I can't sing a cotton picking person. We can't save one person. But the Holy Spirit will draw one to the Lamb of God. And when that person trusts Christ as Savior and walks through the door, God places him into the body of Christ. That's what Paul tells us. Places us, baptizes us into the body of Christ. You know, that placement is that we are in his body, which is the church. So here God has said, just a few words, when you actually again see, as thou hast given him power over all the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as I. That is, I have the power to give eternal life to as many as thou has given me. Don't let it throw you, because without the Holy Spirit drawing us to the Lamb of God, none of us will be saved. That's when I say a person, well, I think I get saved today. Probably they won't if they think they are in that attitude, because you can't get saved, real salvation, without the Holy Spirit drawing you. And the Holy Spirit will draw you when you understand the scripture that leads to that, to show you who Jesus Christ is. Because he draws you to anyone else, you can't be saved. Now, you see why the world hates true Bible-believing Christians? You got, what do you got? Probably 90% of the world, some religious form, a few atheists, I guess. And you probably got less than 10% who are born-again Christians. So you got more against what God is saying than you have for him. And yet when we say that, they say, you're just a bunch of troublemakers. No, we're believers. Hey, if Jesus Christ was a troublemaker, put me in there with him. Because I'm just preaching him. If you go witness, you're going to witness Christ. You're not going to tell someone, hey, let me save you. If you say that, sometimes a person's made a statement, can make statements when they're intoxicated, that things they wildly would do, but they can't save us. Sure can't. In fact, I doubt one can even save one from drowning if he's intoxicated. Father, again, we thank you for this. Help us finish, Lord. I guess just spending time on this gives me a fresh new look of you and heaven, what's going on. Lord, this is not imagination either. This is the precious Word of God. And I pray you'd give us, as we finish this, a new, fresh look at what God is doing. And understand, you can't separate God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit from the Godhead. On the other hand, all three are deity. All three interact. All three, at the same time, think just alike. Dear Father, but at the same time, positional-wise, they have a different position in your plan and purpose. Thank you for helping us see that. Give us that knowledge. Then give us that understanding. Then please give us the wisdom to apply it. Not to make our heads big. Lord, God forbid. You won't show anything when we begin to think we really know something. But by faith, receive it and help it put in our heart enough to formulate words that we can lay the pattern out with the help of the Holy Spirit. I didn't make anybody believe anything, Lord. I have no power to do that. But I have confidence in this book. I have confidence in the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that he uses words. And the words are that which comes from us as we study and as we give the word out. And if it's truly the biblical word, the Holy Spirit will use it. If it's not, it'll just be wasted words. And we'd be wasting our time. And I pray you give us that ability to make sure they're words biblically. Because you have made your oath to bless your word above your name. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.